Okay, it is 3:30 and then I will call our November 15th STIF committee. That is the State Transportation Infrastructure Funding Advisory Committee, if I have all the letters correct, to order. And so we are in order. And instead of me calling the roll, how about if we go around the table, since we don't have name tags, everybody say your name and kind of what your connection is to the committee, starting with Kate.
Hi, I'm Kate Wilson. I work for the Lane Council of Governments, and I staff the STIF Advisory Committee.
Yes, you do. Thank you. Pete.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Pete Knox. I'm connected through this via being the board member, one of the board members assigned to the Strategic Planning Committee.
Susie Lacer, STIF Committee member.
And how far did you come to get here today?
All the way from West County, Florence.
All right. Welcome. Hope the weather is great going back the other direction.
Josh Kuczynski, I guess STIF committee member. I came one MX stop.
Perfect. That's what we like to hear. And this is your second go around on the committee, as I recall, at least second. Yeah.
So Cosette Reese, and I'm with Lane Transit District on the STIF committee, and I came about 100 yards.
Perfect. And I'm Mike Eister. I'm chairing the committee. I wonder if we could have the people online also introduce yourselves. And starting with David.
All right. Hello. My name is David Reeser, the director of UFO Transportation Services, and this is my second go with the STIF committee.
Thanks, David. Kelly?
Hi, everyone. I'm Kelly Clark, a principal transportation planner at the Lane Council of Governments, and I manage the Link Lane Transit Services.
Thank you. Caitlin?
Hi, everyone. Caitlin Vargas, board president for Lane Transit District.
And Hoover?
Hi. Hoover James.
Welcome. And is that every, do we catch everybody that's in the room, in both rooms?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, great. We have an agenda today that is basically a review of revisions that have been made since our last meeting. And Kate will kind of bring us up to date on some major factors, overarching factors with regard to those revisions. And then other presenters will bring us up to date on the specifics on the revisions. So does anybody have any questions about the agenda or any suggestions or want to make any changes? Okay, we'll go with the agenda as it is then. Next is audience participation. Is there anyone that would like to make a statement to the committee?
Mike, I'm not showing anyone. Oh, go right ahead.
Just want to say, put Al Francis with the Oregon Department of Transportation. So I am here. Normally I'm online, but I decided to come in person today.
Well, why don't you have a seat?
I was trying to stand up.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, do whatever feels good. Thanks. And a committee member.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for introducing yourself. Okay. So I think Kate's going to give us some overview, and then we'll get to some specifics with Tom.
Yes, and really quick, I just want to acknowledge, I think Alma is also here now too.
Oh, okay. Alma, where are? Okay. Do you want to just tell us who you are and your connection?
Hello, Alma Fumiko Jesus. I'm with United Way of Lane County. Thank you.
Thank you, Alma. And vice chair of the committee, as I recall. Oh, Susie is. Okay, I'm sorry. How did that happen?
I'm on the other committee. We're on too many committees together.
I'll just make an adjustment here. Susie. Okay, Kate.
Yes. Camille, can you pull up the PowerPoint? And one more. Yep. So just a quick reminder today, you know, your overall purpose as a committee is to approve or reject projects proposed by providers here in Lane County, and then to recommend prioritization projects that are listed that providers have submitted applications for. Next slide. Really quick, this is in your packet on page six, I think. Yes, this is, but it is important to keep in mind as you're thinking about the projects and as we get closer, now that you've learned about all of them at your last meeting, to just remember that these are the criteria that you should be considering when you do think about if each of these projects does meet the purpose of STIF funding. So I'm not going to go through each of them. I think you're all fairly familiar with them and we've talked about them a number of times, but just a quick reminder that you can reference again, page six. And if you have a paper packet, there are fronts and backs. So it's the back one of the pages.
I'm trying.
You're totally fine. really quickly, since we last meeting went through and the providers gave an overview of each of their projects, we're going to talk in a minute about how budgets have slightly changed for those, but I wanted to really quick check in, walk through the projects, and make sure that no advisory committee members have any questions about any of the projects at this moment, that we have the providers in the room that can answer any questions, or if you would like the providers to do a quick summary again, really quick walking through each of the projects, then they can do that. It'd be probably even more high level than last meeting, but just wanted to give that opportunity over the next few slides. So if anyone has any questions.
So we went through them pretty much individually one at a time last time, and nothing has changed other than the dollar amounts since then.
That's correct.
I guess I would have one question, which is how the changing dollar amounts may impact what the project's delivering, if at all.
Yeah, and I think that we'll get to that when we do get to the budgets a little bit further on. So I think I just wanted to make sure that no one had any questions about the specific projects themselves and how they will function. We'll slowly move the PowerPoint. Yeah.
Just let me know.
Yep, right here. Okay. So at a really high level, you can see here on the slide, you know, there's a lot of numbers on this slide, but there's a few things that have changed since we met 2 weeks ago. One of the big things that we did 2 weeks ago is we didn't really have great numbers on how much carryover would be carrying over from previous biennia. So we did some work with ODOT and LTD staff to really get a better idea of how much funding would be carrying over into this cycle. We learned from ODOT, you know, sometimes they're not always even tracking necessarily in district and out of district when they send the funds to us, but so they asked us to do it based on a percentage. So they said that roughly in Lane County, about 6% of the funds are out of district. So that's what we are basing our rollover estimates on. So you can see here, we were able to get better estimates. We got better project numbers in terms of how budgets are looking. There is quite a bit of rollover. This is to be expected for a number of reasons. One, this little thing called the pandemic for the last few years has really influenced just what providers have been able to spend funding on. And then two, there is a large backlog for capital funding projects. So that's also influencing what the budgets look like. So, but just so you know, you can see the numbers in red that did change. So you can see how much is available. And then you can see that there for the in district and the out of district, you can see there's a slight mismatch right now. I'm going to actually talk about the in district first and I'm going to kind of just generally talk about some project goals. One thing is that ODOT has noticed that the revenues coming in are higher than even they have projected each quarter. So they've asked us to build in a 20% extra in our budget and also in our project requests. And you can see that in each project, the 20% contingency is noted. And you can also see that in the recommended 20% increase in the overall estimated funds to move forward. So I think that's important to note that 20% is in there. The other thing that ODOT has really wanted to highlight is that providers that ODOT will not give more money in a biennium than is in the STIF plan for that biennium. So if you have $10 million in your STIF plan, but $12 million comes in, that's not counting in the rollover in that situation, you will only be able to get $10 million. So the recommendation has been to potentially, even with that 20% buffer, potentially also add a little bit extra funding just in case there is extra funding. So we're not leaving it on the table if there are projects that wanted to get used. So you'll notice, and also another big thing to point out is all of our projected budgets are really based on, you know, a lot of moving factors, like how much the transit tax brings in, which projects don't spend funding this biennium. So we did want to leave a buffer in case there is some room for that. So in district, you'll see that there is $763,000 more request than there is estimated budget, even with that 20%. But that is on purpose to be thoughtful in case more funds come in or there's a greater rollover. And then in the out of district, we're actually going to talk because there's a little bit less ask than there's available funds. So there's a late add that we are going to ask you to consider today. There was a slide on that a little bit later.
So I'll just interject here that this is, I think, our third time through this. And we found that it's a good idea to budget more money than what looks like it's available, because things could happen where there's unexpected revenue. And so it's just a good idea to have a plan for that. So that's what that 763 is, I think. 764. Yeah, Tom?
Just real quick, the implications of seeing that we could do something, but we don't have the budget, we have to wait for the next biennium. And so that's one of the reasons I want to budget a little bit more, with the understanding that we might not get there.
Yeah.
But this gives us the opportunity to move fairly smoothly.
Planning ahead.
You know, if I can add one more thing to it, it also allows you to look at your projects and see how nimble they can be. Because again, if there's opportunity as you go through the cycle, whatever the case may be, that little 20% helps you get an added attack. But what's not, you may be able to kind of harness that and leverage that to your benefit. So projects being nice and nimble that could fluctuate up or down is actually a benefit.
Something to consider. Thanks. What's next?
Great. So next slide, Camille.
While we're changing slides, I will just note that we have a person in the room that wasn't here for our last meeting. He's our new general manager for LTD, Jameson Otten. So happy to have you here, Jameson. Welcome to this unusual funding method that may result in you having some flexibility that maybe you haven't had in other jobs you've been in. So glad you're here.
Really quickly for the audio record, we also have Elma now virtually as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna now ask LTD to actually, if you can come to the table, just to make sure that we get that those on the microphone can hear you. And we're gonna ask you to discuss the project increases that you all, or the project changes that you all have made.
So you had slides for that, or
it's just right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, it's the stuff in red.
Yeah. It's the stuff in red. This is a different slide. So this is just project A, project B, project C.
Okay, I got it.
And a lot of red.
What was that?
So you want to speak to project A?
Yeah, of course. So one significant change that LTD is proposing is to our ride source ADA paratransit service and accompanying shopper shuttle. This actually isn't intended to be a reduction in service. In fact, Ride Source ADA paratransit is a mandatory federally required service to accompany our fixed route. However, what we're proposing is a reduction in the amount of that service that is STIF funded. And so we would need to seek using our own general funds to be able to support the service in lieu of STIF.
So, any questions about project A before we move to project B?
I do actually. So these were the projects that previously were funded by STF. And so are we are we funding them at less than they were funded in SDF with STIF funds now? STIF?
So the STIF programs, you're correct that those have all been packaged as part of Project A, as part of the population-based funding for STIF. RideSource ADA Paratransit is a program that historically has used STF funding, and so we are seeking STIF funding. We anticipate that we are able to fund the difference using general funds. The remainder of the projects within, or tasks within Project A, we're anticipating receiving similar funding levels to what we've seen in prior bienniums to be able to support continued services at the levels that they've previously been funded. In areas where we are proposing either an expansion or some kind of additional component to service, we've spelled that out as actually separate projects or separate tasks to note service increase.
Okay, thank you.
You went back a slide, didn't you?
Can you go forward a slide again?
So Project B is transit service increases. And again, what we're talking about doing here is reducing this project by approximately $2 million in STIF funding. And so the service adds would be $3.5 million in 2024 and $4.5 million in 2025. So we're still making considerable service increases, just not as much.
Questions, comments? Anybody online, questions or comments? Okay.
Is this yours or mine?
I can take the Cottage Grove portion.
Okay.
The so we have two tasks listed under Project B, the Cottage Grove Connector service expansion. So we've proposed a reduction in the proposal, however, not a reduction in current service levels. So what we've done is in the current biennium, we are expecting to be able to complete our existing pilot project. And what we've been proposing is a transition into mobility on demand in Cottage Grove as regular service starting July 1st. So we had anticipated some additional flexibility in being helpful in being able to adjust service hours and frequency. However, we are able to internalize at the proposed reduction in budget to maintain, we anticipate maintain current service levels in the Cottage Grove area using mobility on demand. The other is a mobility on demand pilot with an area to be determined in which we've noted reduction in FY25 to be able to identify and propose a similar type of service in another area to be able to continue to test technology using a new pilot proposed for FY25.
Is that the right number? I thought we took it down to one.
That was my understanding as well. So
okay, maybe we can follow up.
That's the correct number.
Okay. The Project C then is the trip planning mobile app and the low-income fare program. And so the trip planning mobile app, what we're asking for there is a slight reduction in the project. It narrows the scope a little bit, but that's, I mean, we had to go through our entire project list to figure out how to trim a little bit here and there to reach the underlying goal. So that's still a viable project at that funding level. The low-income fare program, we reduced this somewhat based on our experience this year. We're not spending that amount. We had budgeted $750,000 in both years of this STIF cycle and are anticipated to spend closer to $500,000 each year. So it's a way to meet that cut. So any questions on those?
Questions?
How far back did you go in terms of that 500,000? Like 2 years, 3 years?
Well, I think we had similar levels in the first two cycles, correct?
Okay.
Right. So as long as we've been doing this.
Right.
Okay.
David, did you have a comment or question?
Yes, thank you. Tom, I was wondering if you could just speak really briefly as to what piece of the trip planning mobile app was scaled back. Is that something that could be explained just in a few sentences, or is it more complex?
I don't have that answer.
Sure. Oh. Thanks, David, for the question. So LTD has an earmark that we received that we would be using to complete the project. This level of funding just enables us to continue the support of the trip planner that we're planning to implement this year, so.
Okay, great, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay.
Next.
So I think these are really all the numbers I already talked about, but just kind of without seeing the numbers from November, from November 1st. So just a little bit bigger, and just to show you sort of, this is what the end district totals look like. And then go next slide. Out of district totals, and then kind of overall about where we are landing when you look at this from the combined totals. And then the one thing I did want to mention in the next slide, as I said earlier, we have a little bit more of an estimated revenue than we do of project budget requests. So LTD has also proposed to add $25,000 to the out of district reserve it would be an extra project add. So right now there's only $6,000 budgeted in that, as you all have seen it in your packet. So we just discussed this today, and I apologize for the late add, but this would put us a little bit over budget in the same way that we already talked about a little bit earlier in the meeting. So just wanted to put that in. We didn't even have time to put it in all the tables, but we can reflect it for you again, of course, later as needed, but wanted to say that would be staff recommendation, is to have a little bit more budgeted, knowing that it would probably be on a lower staff prioritization list than the other projects. Is there any questions about that? And then I think actually, Josh, this gets to your question just really quickly. You all have, there's two kind of separate funds within the bigger STIF fund. One is making sure that 1% of all funds are used for student transit for students grades 9 through 12. And you can see what's required and then what's actually in the budget. And then you can also see for the population-based funds, which are formerly the STF funds, ODOT does give a number for those, and you can see how many, and that's kind of the minimum amount that you have to have. And you can see that LTD has put in quite a bit more money that for projects that are eligible for that type of service. So that's helpful to see that way. I think that's all my details that I have. So
did you want to just say, I mean, the required 1% of all funds, we have to demonstrate that we're spending at least 1% of our total funds each year on supporting student transit. And you can see we're spending quite a bit more just in the different services we're adding in our projects.
So our job as a committee is to decide whether we think these proposals meet the criteria. Before that, there's a request that we prioritize. And that's always a little trick in me because they all seem equally important. And so I'm not quite sure if maybe we should probably start there. Are there ways that the committee would like to suggest we prioritize, or are there projects that you'd like to suggest be at the top of the priority list? Susie?
So I think I would be first inclined to throw it to the providers. Can they offer any insight to the committee on how we should prioritize, or if any of the proposed projects are a higher, more urgent priority.
Thanks.
Well, I think as staff, one piece of guidance I can give to this committee is that Lane Transit District maintains a coordinated transportation plan, which in the past we've historically used to guide these types of decisions for committees that were doing work for our 5310 and STF funds. Now that those STF funds are rolled into the STIF process, it may be of use to this committee. So that coordinated plan has three main tiers of priorities for any projects that would come before that group. First would essentially be to maintain existing services, to keep doing what we're doing. So to make sure that we're prioritizing funding to be able to maintain any existing services that may be in progress. So particularly things like population-based fund projects, or what we'd see as program A, is to support existing services. And all of our programs are identified as being either an expansion or a continuation of an existing service. The second is with any additional funds that may be remaining, to expand any existing services. So to be able to grow existing programs as funds are made available. And then the third tier, a third priority, would be to, with any remaining funds, to prioritize any new services that may be proposed, additional projects that may not currently exist.
So I guess one question we might want to ask ourselves is, that seems like a good format or a good model, but I'm wondering if there are any new programs that are proposed in this plan that we might want to jump up higher than having it be the lowest priority. I'm not sure what those might be, but I wanted to at least entertain that possibility.
I don't have a response to that.
Okay. Is that David?
Yes, David? Thank you. Yeah, this idea I have, or just my thought, might overlap with what was just mentioned. But in my mind, when I'm thinking of prioritizing these, I think what comes to the highest list would be those who are potentially the most vulnerable. So folks who need right source paratransit, so in Project A, and also low income fare program in Project C. And I think thinking of it through that lens is very important.
And it seems in keeping with the intent of the legislation. Josh?
Last time around, we prioritized based on which projects were scalable, that if there was less money, they could be scaled back more easily. Mm-hmm. Which of those projects here would sort of meet that guideline?
So we scaled back based on, good question. We scaled back based on that exact way of thinking about it. So our service adds and I think importantly, but probably in scale with that, our vehicle purchases are kind of an important investment to make if we're making a lot of additional service. So those are, that's kind of a way I think about that. So we're proposing to reduce and by the way, you know, the last time we were trying to get to a balanced budget, I think the priorities here can be related more to what the objectives and policy goals are of this committee, of the agency, as John just implied.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
I know that one of our members who isn't here would ask about electrification of the fleet. So I thought maybe someone would like to comment on that.
As I understand it, our request here includes some electric vehicles. I don't know the details, but that's, I mean, and you've heard Matt talk about the fact that we've met our goals in terms of what the board set out for us to do in terms of percent of our fleet, et cetera. We're on the way to being that, I should say, that the buses are being built.
On target then.
We're on target.
Other
Matt's here. Sorry.
Did you want to say more for yourself? There's a mic. Yeah.
Great. I think so. Yeah, we're on target. We met the board's goal in regards to, or we will be meeting the board goal to have 25 electric vehicles. I think as you look to expand that, it's the question of, you know, what service will be impacted as a result of doing a one-to-one ratio. We're at capacity, or we're nearing capacity for that one-to-one ratio. But as you look as a transition, as you're looking forward to meet that goal, those are one things that we're always considering. For the paratransit, that's something we're looking at as far as electrifying some of those vehicles to see what you can do. So fixed route, we're nearing the place where it's not a one-to-one ratio based upon what our block structure is currently. So what that decision point we get to ask ourselves is, do you sacrifice service? And that's not the intent of what STIF is. We're wanting to put more service on the road just to have an electric vehicle. So there's other ways in which we're going after that. So greenhouse gas emissions was one of those, reducing it by 70% by 2035, I believe. And we are on track and had met those goals as well.
So maybe you can elaborate just for a second on how further expansion might compromise service and just explain that a bit.
Yeah, so operationally an electric vehicle, just specific to an electric vehicle,
right,
right now about 125 miles for a trip before it needs to get kind of refueled or charged. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting to the point where you can't just send a bus out, because at that point you're going to compromise or increase the operational cost for running that bus into service. You might need to break it up. You might need to have two vehicles. Mm-hmm. You might have to do a midday charge. There's different ways to slice it, but the one-to-one ratio can't be accomplished at this point in the way we have it. So if you want to keep service out on the road, the choice really becomes, well, what do you put out there? So a diesel vehicle is reflected in this plan or for showing for some of those replacements for the fixed route. And then for the paratransit, really looking and expanding, how can you accomplish delivering service while reducing your operational costs?
Thanks for elaborating on that.
Yeah, hopefully that. If any other questions specific to that, happy to take those.
Any other questions? Where do we go next? I mean, are we ready to vote, or? We could conceivably vote on this today.
I think you can vote on you are doing two things. So one of the things is you're approving all of the projects. So that can be, so I think probably the first vote is just if you want to make sure everyone approves all of the projects. Right. And then I think you can probably draft something that talks about scalability. That could be your motion, that if you don't feel very strongly about specific projects have to be the last choice, for instance, but you could say ask providers to scale appropriately for prioritization if less funds come in than anticipated.
Okay, so sometimes we have a prepared motion. You had a draft of a sort of a incomplete draft.
A very incomplete draft in the PowerPoint, so, unfortunately, because we hadn't really discussed, last time we'd had discussion at the meeting before, so I had a much more clear draft proposal laid out.
We have a fill in the blank motion that's going to appear here. I guess I might change outlined by this committee to presented to the committee. Is anybody ready to make a motion? For example, Josh. Oh, okay. Kelly, go ahead.
I just had a question. Is this a recommendation for or a motion for both in district and out of district?
All projects.
Yeah.
It's all projects on the list. Yeah.
Kelly, yes. Okay.
Did you want to add any other comments, Kelly?
I don't. I'm happy to answer any questions about the Ling Lane projects, but don't have any questions about the overall project prioritization that's been presented.
Okay. Josh.
I do have one little comment that speaks to that. Both Project I and J, which are the LCOG projects, they're matching funds for discretionary ask later. And so I wouldn't want to prioritize those so low that they don't get funded because then we don't have our match.
I see.
But
want to make that match.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for highlighting that.
Okay, so I will entertain a motion.
So as I understand it, we need two motions, one that says that we approve of these as meeting the criteria.
And then the prioritization.
Okay.
Or so, you could put it together if you want to.
I don't know.
If taking it in two steps is fine.
So I move that we approve all of the projects listed as meeting the STIF criteria.
And I should mention the purpose of this motion is it will be presented to the LTD board for approval by the board. So we're not enacting anything. We're making a recommendation.
I move. Yeah. So, so I amend my motion.
That's fine. Oh, okay. I think people understand that.
Yeah.
We have a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second it. This is Alma.
Thank you, Alma. Okay. Is there any further discussion? Okay, the motion is to make a recommendation to the LTD board to accept the projects that have been presented to the STIF committee and that we've discussed today. All in favor, please say aye. And if you're in the Zoom, you can raise your hand so we can see you.
Aye.
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 Is there any opposed? Okay, so we will say that that was a unanimous approval. Now, could we get a motion that talks about prioritizing the funding projects? I've heard the word scalability. I heard the words, we don't want to exclude matching projects. I see Susie writing something over there.
Yes, I was not quite ready to make a motion yet, but I was doing just what you were doing there, Mike. So we talked about scalability. We talked about the need to not put future matching requests at risk. And one of the first mentions from someone online was prioritizing the projects that specifically serve vulnerable populations.
Yeah.
So I think those were the three that we brought up.
Introduce those criteria.
Priorities. Okay. Okay, so are we ready for
a
motion? So I move that we prioritize the projects. I don't know if any of those three are in specific order. I move that we prioritize the proposed projects on the basis of serving vulnerable populations, scalability of the project, and
matching.
That's right. And the need for maintaining matching funds for future grant requests.
Thank you.
Capture it. Okay.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, that was David Reeser. Yeah. Further discussion. Okay, like before, in the room, say aye, and on screen, raise your hand. All in favor?
Aye.
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 On screen, if you're supporting it, put your hand up so we can see. Aye. Okay, is there any opposed? Okay. We'll say that that is a unanimous vote in support of that prioritization. Kate, what's next?
What's next is that you all now we don't meet for a little bit. We have so we had a few extra meetings scheduled for this committee because there was such a big change with the funding. We wanted to build in some extra committee meetings. But the next step for this committee is actually going to be to review STIF discretionary and SDN projects. And those applications are not even due to ODOT yet. So you're supposed to have a meeting in 2 weeks, and then I got another one 2 weeks from then. But those will not happen because there won't be anything for you to review at that time. So I believe the next time that this committee will reconvene is January 3rd. Is that looking right. And that is assuming that we have gotten applications back from ODOT at that point for you to comment on. If we have not, then it would be 2 weeks from then.
So I do have January 3rd on the calendar.
Great.
3:30 here.
So, so I think, and Tom has something.
I was just going to add, in addition to the work that this committee is doing, our strategic planning committee and CATC have been looking at these projects. There's an effort to actually integrate those committees into one committee, but one way or the other, there's a meeting on the 30th, and we'll be asking SPC to make their recommendations as for the LTD board as a public transportation service provider.
And we have the chair of that committee as a member of this committee.
That is correct.
Also. Okay. Thank you, Tom, for that reminder. Do we have any other business? Okay. Well, I'm going to declare us adjourned until January 3rd.
Also, I just really want to say thank you to Kaylin for serving on the committee, because I think she will not be with us in January anymore. Is that correct?
You are correct.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Kaylin. Thank you, staff, for the excellent work of preparation, and Kate for all your organizational putting this all together for us.
And Rachel over there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel.
Perfect. Okay, we're adjourned. Everybody have a great rest of the day and a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, everybody.
Meow. Thank you.